wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My subject is, Once I Thought I Was Saved, But Now. Instead of my preaching you a sermon, I want you to consider with me some of the problems that face a minister of the gospel. Some people expect him to be wiser than Solomon, and to be like God, to know what every man is at heart. Others think that he just opens his mouth and a sermon comes out without any Bible study or observing the trend of the times. The real minister is painfully conscious of his lack. He funeralizes one whom he has known, yet there is a problem as to whether he were a real Christian. Some things look like it, and others challenge. How can it be? So the question is unanswered. Then the real servant of Christ is puzzled as he faces cases like these I will mention. Listen, for your case may be among them. Case number one. A man said to me, when I was 17, I got saved and I tried to live right for a time. Then I backslid and got to drinking and running around with wicked women, and that went on till I was 35. Then I got sanctified, and since then I have tried to glorify God and live right. I do wish each case was that easy to answer. I showed that man that his testimony made God's salvation as nothing, since it left a man a drunkard and a fornicator. The Bible shows the Lord Jesus to be a Savior who saves his people from their sins. If anyone claims to be saved while he lives on in his sins, we know that he doesn't know Jesus, the Savior from sin. I also showed him that when he claimed to be sanctified was when he was saved, as his life proved. It is true that he was sanctified then, for when a person is saved by Christ, right then he is also regenerated, sanctified, and justified. From my 60 years of experiences in the ministry of the gospel, I do believe that in most cases where they claimed they were saved and then went back into sin and continued in that course, they were not saved at all, but just made a religious profession and tried to live up to it. But eventually their life proved they had never been born again. If this is your case, I believe you know it, even though it may be embarrassing to confess it. For our next case, we find a multitude of people with this experience. They fell into the current of the mad rush for additions for more members, as all religious organizations are in a race to obtain. The revival came along with a new preacher, and the members got busy to help the pastor increase their membership. The advantage of more members to pay the church bills appealed to all. And so a neighbor invited you to attend. To make you feel welcome, a fuss was made over you. The preacher was very entertaining, and the sermon didn't trouble your conscience over your sins. You just liked it all. So the appeal for professions brought you walking down the aisle to be warmly received as a convert and new member. You felt like you had found a church home where you could deposit your tithes and in exchange have some social and business benefits, as well as feeling better satisfied about yourself. You felt like you did when you were insured for most everything that might happen to you. You felt more secure. If you got sick, the pastor would console you, and if you died, would he not refer to you as a dear Christian brother and such an example to all? So you consider yourself a fine Christian. But God, seeing you are deceived, mercifully went out after you. It may have been your conscience reminded you of how those evil habits you still had as other church members. Or maybe a fellow workman witnessed to you of his wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had so changed his once sinful life. You had no comeback. You were polite, but inwardly you counted him as only a religious fanatic. But seeing his real Christian character, you began to ask questions. So he asked you whether you were born again. And he read to you the words of Jesus, how he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he asked if you had ever repented of your sins. As he read to you the words of the Lord Jesus, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You knew you had no such experience, for instead of condemning yourself as a wicked sinner deserving to go to hell, you argued that you were a good religious man going to heaven. And when he spoke of the cross of Christ, his precious cleansing blood, his real resurrection and enthronement in heaven, and how we must surrender to Jesus Christ to obey him as our Lord, so that we might be saved through him, your pride was crushed. Your religion went up in smoke. But to confess yourself now as only a lost sinner and to be born again, that would cost you so much. What would the people of the church say, and those at work? The cost of being a born-again Christian instead of just a pious church member was too great, so you decided to go on as you were and to avoid those fanatic Christians. But was it not God who had mercifully shown you your true condition? Would you turn your back on God? And so today you are bewildered. If you needed help, I would help you, neighbor. But you know what you should do as well as I could tell you, so just do it. Get on those two knees of yours and first thank God for awakening you to your true condition before the day of judgment. Then, repenting of your sins and your religious pretensions, seek God's mercy in Christ, making a complete surrender to him, that you might be a real Christian, born of his Spirit and washed in his blood. I tell you that you will find the difference so great you might become overzealous and count every church member just as you were. Many are like you, but not all, thank the Lord. We shall now pass to our next case. To sum up their varied experiences, we find this. They say, I didn't just join the church. I knew that wouldn't do. I professed to be converted. And I thought I was. I went to work for God. And here they tell a list of fine Christian work they did most earnestly. And I quit my evil habits. And they can list cursing, drinking, smoking, lying, dancing, and such like. And then, here the experiences vary. Some stopped prayer and Bible reading. Others got into bad company, while others tried to make lots of money. And then all failed. So now I don't know whether I'm saved or not. My concern and my message is for this group. You present a great problem to the true minister of the gospel. In your group, he knows well, are some real Christians who have fallen into sin, and they need to confess that sin and be restored into fellowship with their Father. But most are self-deceived, and were he to tell them, you are Christians, but you haven't just lived up to it, he would only help deceive them more. And the day of judgment, they would charge him with it, and God would require their blood at the hand of such ministers. As a minister of Christ, as led by his Spirit, I give all such my answer. If you sincerely do not know, then show God your sincerity. Once a man in doubt got on his knees and poured out his heart to God, asking him to show him his true condition. On his knees, he opened his Bible, and the Holy Spirit directed him to John 6:47, the words of the Lord Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But this only increased his perplexity. So he cried, but Lord, did I believe on thee way back there? How could I have really done so and lived like I have? I just don't know. To this the Spirit said, then why not believe on him right now, and you can know. From a full heart he cried, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So he knew that he now believed, and the verse said, he that believeth, present tense right now, no longer was he debating over when he first believed, but he rejoiced that he now believed. Neighbor, I haven't the time to unravel all your past history. I must deal with you as you are right now. Tell me, are you saved? And as you must answer, I don't know. I have a Bible character that fits such cases. You remember how that Simon Peter once seemed to overcome those raging waves and walk the sea. And then he began to sink. And knowing he was lost and needed a Savior, he cried, Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. Doesn't that fit your case? Once you lived like you were a Christian, walking on the rough waves of this wicked world, and then you went down under them, so now you are confused. This is as strange as was Peter's experience. But did Peter say, I walked those waves once, and now I'm sinking under them. I must be all right. Maybe I just think I'm sinking. No, he did not. So don't you try to think you must be saved. Did Peter call for John and James to explain his strange case, how he once walked the waves but was now sinking under them? No, there was no time for human opinions. Did Peter say, "This is so strange, I'll just wait and see how it all ends. God will show me then"? Peter was not so foolish, so don't you be, and wait till it's too late to be saved. What did Peter do? No matter what he once did, he was lost now and he knew it. He couldn't explain his past experience, but he did know his present danger. So he took action, and as a lost man, he cried to the Lord Jesus. So, neighbor, please don't tell me all your long story for me to try and explain it, but if you are not saved now, then you are lost. You are sinking in your sins, and you know it. And like Peter, your time is too short for religious debates. Every second counts. It means life or death, as with a drowning man. So right now, get on your knees and cry, "Lord Jesus, I don't understand my past experiences, but I know I'm lost. I feel myself sinking. Lord Jesus, save me." And he will, just like he did Peter. Then from this hour, you won't be getting in religious arguments over once saved, always saved, as you used to argue, as you told people, "I know I was saved way back there, but I'm lost now." All those arguments stop when you have realized you are lost now, so you now got saved. No longer arguing over the past, your testimony be clear and convincing as you tell how you, a lost sinner, called on the name of the Lord Jesus and he saved you. The clouds of doubt will all clear away. The storm of inward conflicts and outward arguments will all cease, and you will enjoy the sweet calm of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Neighbor, you can be saved now, and saved for all time and all eternity. Saved with the salvation you have experienced, and saved never to doubt it. No matter how weird have been your past religious professions, lay them to one side, and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ to be his, and he will receive you and make your salvation a certainty to you by sealing you with his Holy Spirit. This is the real Bible salvation. This is God's salvation in Jesus Christ, his Son. Don't settle for less, and don't defer this most important part matter, but be saved today and saved forever and never to doubt it. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.